Hi, folks. It's Andy, the analytical preacher. In the podcast we did about what the Bible says about heaven, I mentioned a couple of things that I think are relevant to our podcast about what the Bible says about hell. The first point is just that a lot of the language that we get about the place of the doom, the place of the unbelievers, those who've rebelled against God, a lot of the information we get about hell is in very symbolic terms. And so again, we have to be careful pretending like we know more than we do. However, the Bible wouldn't have given us even the symbolic language if there wasn't some lesson that we were to take from it, some application for our lives today. So it's an important topic. Let's just don't pretend like we can finalize every particular point in every particular detail. I also spent a bit of time in the podcast about heaven talking about the verses in Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet who God spoke directly to, told Isaiah to write the words down for us today. Isaiah lived 650 or so years before Jesus was born, so quite some time back from today. And we spoke in the heaven podcast that one of the things Isaiah talked about in chapter 65 and 66, so the last two chapters of his book of prophecy, was about the new heaven and the new earth. But at the very end, actually, of chapter 66, at the very end of this long prophetic letter that Isaiah took from God's message to him, he actually speaks a little bit about this concept of hell. So let me just read three verses, Isaiah 66, verses 22, 23, and 24. And the prophet has God saying this: "For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. And they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me. For their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." In these verses, the prophet Isaiah clearly is referencing what was essentially a garbage dump outside the cities of the wall of Jerusalem. People would go out there, and in that garbage dump, you had these worms and maggots that would eat organic material. You had everything else being burned up by these fires that essentially were always burning, relit if they went out. And God was just saying to the prophet, tell people that when I create a new heaven and a new earth, and I take those who have had faith in me and in my plans for salvation, and I take them to live with me in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be a place just like the garbage dump outside the city walls. And the bodies of those who've rebelled against me will be there. And that will be an abhorrence. And the worm shall not die and the fire shall not be quenched in that place. And it's interesting, even though we see verses here which clearly seem to say, yes, God is making a new heaven and a new earth where everything is new and the curse is gone. But God also immediately after says, and this is what happens to those who rebel against my plans. It's interesting that even though there are verses like that in the Old Testament, and certainly plenty in the New Testament, a few of which we'll get to in just a moment, many people who say, even those who say they believe in God or the Bible or in heaven, many of them say they do not believe in hell. I suppose it's just because it makes it uncomfortable for us to think about such a place. And for those who say, I do not believe in God, I do not believe in the Bible, I do not believe in heaven, it seems to be natural follow on to say, and of course, neither do I believe in hell. For those who say, I believe in God and primarily because of the testimony of the Bible, and I believe in heaven because of the testimony of the Bible, it does seem out of place to say then that they wouldn't believe in some form of place called hell, some form of punishment, some place where the dead bodies of men who have rebelled against God go, and where the worm does not die and the fire does not go out. Also, as we did in the podcast on heaven, let me clarify a couple of terms, because there's a few different terms used in the Bible, and sometimes in the Old Testament, you'll read a Hebrew term, word called Sheol. Sometimes in the New Testament, you'll read a word called Hades. And that's different, really, from the place, for example, that Jesus refers to as hell. Sheol and Hades are just a place of the dead. It's not necessarily a place where the dead are divided into the righteous and the unrighteous. It's just when I cease to live physically, Where do I go? Where does my spirit go before it's reunited with my body at the time of the resurrection? And so just a couple of examples you see in a prophecy that King David put in Psalm 16 about Jesus and the fact that Jesus would rise from the grave. You see the Hebrew word for this place of the dead. Psalm 16:10, David wrote, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption." David was just saying, speaking for Jesus here as prophetically, he was saying, Jesus knows that God's not going to leave him in the place of the dead, but will raise his body before his flesh even begins to decay. We see the Apostle Peter preaching about this exact verse, talking about the resurrection of Jesus and how he knew it was coming because of what had been promised. In Acts 2, verses 30, 31, 32, Peter is speaking about the fact that David wasn't speaking of himself here. David was clearly looking forward and speaking about the coming Messiah. But because Peter is speaking to a different audience, when Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, when Luke writes down what Peter said but puts it down in Greek, he uses the Greek word Hades. And so he says, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So when we read about Sheol or Hades in the Bible, it's not always referring to this place of eternal punishment, but is often just referring to a place of the dead. But there is absolutely, and again, we're going to look at some of the words of Christ himself. There's absolutely in the Bible talk of a place called hell, and it is this place where those who have rebelled against God go. And Jesus uses some of the same concept, some of the same symbology that Isaiah had intentionally, obviously. He used some of those same figurative images about the garbage dump that Isaiah was using. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Let me start in verse 43. And this is Jesus saying, "And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." So Jesus is saying, here's the reason you need to follow me and accept me and try to mend your ways to mine, because there is a place where you can be thrown, hell, and the fire is not quenched and the worm does not die. In a different part of his teaching, much later in his ministry, actually in the last week of his earthly ministry, Jesus is telling a famous tale, a famous parable. We call it the sheep and the goats generally. Let me read two verses from Matthew 25, not back to back. It's verse 41 and verse 46. And Jesus is sort of talking about the final judgment that's going to happen. Jesus says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.'" So again, Jesus is clearly saying there is a judgment that's coming, and at that judgment, one group of people who have rebelled against God's plan for salvation go away into an eternal fire for eternal punishment. And it may not be a place that's necessarily designed for humans. The new heaven and the new earth are designed for humans. This eternal fire was prepared for the devil and the angels that rebelled with the devil. But that's where these men, that's where these people are going. And the righteous, those that of course would be those who have accepted their righteousness through the sacrifice of Christ, go to eternal life. Paul writes also about this in his second letter to the church at Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul writes this: "They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might." Now we get into a little bit of a disagreement here among Bible scholars. Some say that this punishment, this hell, this you being judged and rejected on Judgment Day, that it's what Paul writes about here in 2 Thessalonians. It's a bit more of an eternal destruction. You're in the presence of the Lord. You see the glory and the greatness thereof. You now realize that's where you should have tried to be all along. It's too late. Your decision has been cast. Your fate has been cast. And so you are destroyed. And you are now away from the presence of the Lord. Just as Isaiah, they say, spoke about the dead bodies, the people who are in the new heaven and the new earth would see the dead bodies in the garbage dump and would realize that they're an abhorrence to all flesh. And so they say hell is not this eternal punishment, but that the punishment, because Paul says here, those who are against God, they will suffer the punishment. But the punishment is not, they say, an eternal punishment, but the punishment is eternal destruction. You're gone forever, and you're away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Others say this idea, this symbolic language about the worm never dies, the fire is never quenched. Jesus said in Matthew 25, and these will go away into eternal punishment. And so there's a bit of a question about whether or not this place of hell, this place of punishment, is a destruction, or if it is a place of literally eternal torment. I think every scholar agrees, whichever side they fall on what happens to humans, I think every scholar agrees that for Satan and for his quote-unquote angels and for the beast and the false prophet that are spoken about in Revelation, that punishment is eternal. And we get that, they get that from Revelation 20. And so as you go through Revelation, you get to Revelation 20, and there's this great judgment that happens, and Satan and the beast and the prophet, they're all judged, and humans are judged at the great white throne, we're told. Let me just read a few verses. I'm going to read verse 10 and then verse 14 and 15 in Revelation chapter 20, and it says this, "And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." And you're really kind of picking at words that were written in Greek and translated into English to come up with this. But this is what some folks say. It clearly says here that Satan and the false prophet and the beast of Revelation, that they are tormented day and night forever and ever in a lake of fire that smells like sulfur. That's what it clearly says. But they say, then it says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. But this is the second death, the lake of fire. So they're saying you die a physical death, but spiritually you're still alive. You're spiritually still alive in the place of the dead, in Hades. And then there's a second death after judgment. And that second death, they say, is the spiritual death, which is being forever away from the presence of the Lord. So do unbelievers suffer a physical death and then a spiritual death, which separates them? Or do unbelievers suffer a physical death and then an eternal punishment or eternal torment day and night forever and ever, as does Satan in this lake of fire? It's a bit unclear. I think the weight of the verses tend to be more, it is a place of eternal punishment and eternal torment away from the presence of the Lord. Though again, the idea of a garbage dump, the idea of maggots eating flesh, the idea of a fire that never dies, the idea of a lake of fire and sulfur, all of that is probably highly symbolic, and so we don't want to make more out of that than is there. It seems to me the weight of the evidence is, no, it's a place of eternal punishment. We could make something out of eternal destruction and dead bodies and second death that would say that it's not. But that's essentially what the Bible says about hell, and that's essentially what we can draw from it, and then we have to make our own conclusion. Yes, it is real. Yes, it is a place. Yes, it was prepared for the devil and his rebellious angels, but humans can choose to go there by rejecting or by rebelling against God and His plan for salvation. And whether it's a second death of destruction or whether it's eternal punishment, it is certainly a real place. But let me close just couple of minutes with this. In either case, whether you cease to exist spiritually or whether you always exist in a place of torment, I'm not actually trying to use this to scare someone into Christianity through the threat of hell. I'm answering a question, what does the Bible say about hell? Christianity is really based on mutual love. It's based on reciprocal love. Now, the Bible clearly says that a fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, that a reverence of God is the beginning of knowledge. I don't mean to say that we shouldn't respect God, that we shouldn't respect a judge who can condemn us to prison for life and those sort of things. We should have a certain amount of respect for that person in that position. We should have a certain amount of fear for a God who can do the things that God does to his enemies. But that's not what actually calls us into our faith. And what we come to understand as we explore Christianity and we explore the Bible is this is based on love. We love because God first loved us. We love him and we love others because God has shown us what love is. And John actually writes in his first letter, the Apostle John writes that God's love casts out the fear of punishment. So let me just close by reading 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 through 19. John writes, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us." So you do not have to be scared into heaven or scared into Christianity. The much more compelling reason is because of the love that God has shown us in his creation and with the death of his Son on the cross to pay the debt for our sins. And when we come to abide in God's love, that perfect love casts out any fear of punishment anyway. Hell is a real place. And it is described in ugly and stark terms by Old Testament and New Testament writers and speakers. But what I encourage you to do is seek the love of God and seek the relationship the Holy Spirit is convicting you to in the Christ who is Jesus of Nazareth. Thanks for listening. Until next time, this is Andy.